Not so long ago, renting in Australia was thought of more as a temporary stopgap, something people did while they saved for a house deposit. But a rising number of us now live in rental properties, and living in those properties for longer as home ownership in our big cities slips out of reach for more and more people. 40% of suburbs in Greater Sydney, for instance, now dominated by renters. And that makes tenants a growing electoral force. Some state governments are starting to take notice, updating their tenancy laws in a bid to keep renters on side. Zoe Ferguson has more.
Since the 1990s, Australia's renting population has increased from about 27% to 31% now. And around Australia, the percentage of renters varies from 26% in Tasmania to 42% in the Northern Territory, with the rest in between. Cameron Cusher is CoreLogic's Head of Research for Australia. And he says Tasmania's rental market is growing the fastest.
In Hobart in particular, we've seen really, really strong growth in rents, and that's really down to a shortage of accommodation. We've seen prices in Hobart rise very rapidly, and we've also seen rents rise, which really highlights there's just not enough housing stock in that market for how much demand's been out there.
But Australia's renting population still lags that of countries like Germany and Switzerland, where around half of the population rent. So for Australians that are renting, where's best to live when it comes to having the best tenancy laws? According to the Grattan Institute's CEO John Daly, the 1.5 million renters in Victoria are best protected, given the suite of tenancy law reforms that will be coming into effect July 2020.
You have a right to have a pet, you have a right to hang things on the walls, and it's much more difficult for the landlord to make you leave just because the landlord wants to sell the property or move in themselves.
New South Wales changes that have passed Parliament but are yet to have a firm date of introduction see similar changes to those in Victoria, such as domestic violence victims being able to break their lease without penalty and tenants being able to nail a hook in the wall without written permission. But as for who comes in second and third in Australia's rental rankings, John Daly says the rest of Australia's tenancy laws are much of a muchness.
So these changes in Victoria are a significant advance on essentially what have become pretty standard tenancy legislation across Australia. The future of rental living for Australians is that far more people will be renting, and at least the way that legislation is set up at the moment, they will have much less secure tenure than homeowners.
So how does Australia's rental laws fare globally? John Daly again.
So if we look at standard legislation in the United Kingdom, in France, in Germany, in any number of countries, there's a very consistent pattern, which is that Australia is an outlier. We make it easier for the landlord to require the tenant to vacate. Many countries, the landlord actually has to have a reason. In Australia, in most places, the landlord can terminate the tenancy without providing any reason at all. Most of these countries give you rights to have pets. Most of these countries give you rights as the tenant to hang things on the walls. All of these things make a big difference in terms of making a leased property into a home.
Sophia, not her real name, is part of a demographic that's the fastest growing at risk of homelessness in Australia, single older women. She's been in and out of Sydney's private rental market since the 1970s.
Rents were becoming more and more expensive, moved about four or five times over a period of 10 years. Usually it was because the lease was up and they wanted to put the rent up, or the owner was deciding to sell, and I didn't really have that much notice to move. So, you know, there were a few moves, and I'm still renting. When you're renting, you never really feel like it's your home. I just don't think there's enough trust in renters. You're sort of seen as second-class citizens.
Dr. Emma Power is a Senior Research Fellow at Western Sydney University's Institute of Culture and Society. And her work focuses on examining what Greater Sydney's rental market is like for single older women.
The women I speak with have often had extensive experience of insecure and unaffordable housing. They're very, very likely to have moved house frequently and also to be living in housing that's in poor condition or that's inappropriate to their needs. One woman told me about a house that she'd lived in where she'd lost access to 40% of her dwelling due to leaks. When the leaks were eventually repaired, the rent went up 20% to a level that she couldn't afford, and she was left with only $30 per week after she'd paid her rent and essential bills, so she couldn't actually afford to buy sufficient food to keep her going, and she became dependent on a local charity that had a weekly food pantry that was open.
The announced changes to New South Wales rental laws include capping the number of rent increases for periodic leases to once a year. But that, Emma Power says, leaves space for loopholes.
One is that there's no cap for fixed-term tenancies. It's a very common practice in New South Wales for landlords to give out six-month tenancies. And this technically means that a landlord could offer rolling six-month tenancies with a rent increase at the start of each. There's also no cap on the value of the increase, which means that it's actually left to tenants to determine if the increase is reasonable and to then contest it directly with the landlord or property agent. But many tenants and many women that I spoke to see contesting rent increases as very risky due to the possibility of eviction.
In the announced New South Wales tenancy law changes, there were no changes made to the no grounds eviction. Leo Patterson-Ross is a senior policy officer from the New South Wales Tenants Union, and he explains how a no-grounds eviction affects tenants.
When a landlord ends a tenancy without giving a reason, and that can happen either at the end of a fixed-term contract or outside a contract, only a relatively small number of people receive a no-grounds eviction each year, but the impact of them, because they can be served at effectively any time, is that it puts a chilling effect on your ability to enforce your other rights.
And even though New South Wales is reforming its tenancy laws, Leo Patterson-Ross said the changes don't go far enough, especially given what he claims is the glaring omission of not addressing the no-grounds eviction.
It's a real missed opportunity. It's been a known issue for many years. The 1975 Henderson Poverty Inquiry found and recommended that no-grounds evictions be removed from tenancy laws, and we've spent the 43 years since then asking for that change to happen. It was the only recommendation from the legal part of that inquiry that wasn't taken up by government.
Leo Patterson-Ross, Senior Policy Officer with the New South Wales Tenants Union, ending that report by Zoe Ferguson. And regarding the New South Wales reforms and the no-grounds eviction, the Minister for Better Regulation, Matt Keane, gave us a statement which said that landlords can't use no-grounds termination during a fixed-term lease and have to give 90 days' notice to terminate periodic leases. You can read that statement in full on our website.